All right, we're going to go into our sermon now. We're going to be talking this morning about unity. And the cool thing about church unity is that even when we're apart, we can and should have unity. To introduce that idea, I put together a little montage of movie clips that that talk about unity. So here that is.
Years of debate over Iraq and terrorism have left our unity on national security issues intact.
There's no unity in the world.
You're wrong. Strength in unity.
The unity of this hemisphere, the support of our allies, and the calm determination of the American people.
Strength in unity, brother. Brother, if you don't join with us, you'll be destroying the unity we create.
There is unity in division.
Unity is the only solution in times of crisis.
They will know we are Christians by our love.
Having church in this format, like we're doing this morning, always allows us to do things just a little bit differently. And you know me, I like to take advantage of that. So to start out, I want to do something that I can only do via video. We can't do this in person. So I want to try this morning. So here we go. This is it. I love doing that. All right, here we go. We're going to do it again. Okay, one more time. Now, you may have noticed that my clothes changed, but I also changed three other things on the screen. See if you can name them all, okay? I'm going to show you one more time, okay? All right, this is what it looked like before, okay? Get a good look. And this is what it looks like after. Can you name all the things that changed? I'll give you just a few more seconds to guess in the comments, all right? Okay, time's up. I actually changed this pillow from this Minecraft pillow to the purple one. And I changed the color behind me from green to purple. And last thing, I changed the Bible. I had a different color Bible there, sitting there. Did you get them all? If you got them all, I don't have a prize for you, but go ahead and give yourself a pat on the back. Now, I did that this morning because I wanted to point out that it's good to be different. In fact, God calls us to be different. He doesn't want us to look the same as we did before we trusted in Jesus. In fact, he wants us to change. He wants us to change. And as we change, we need to be even more and more intentional to love each other, just as God loves us. We finished our series through the book of James last week. So I originally planned to start a new sermon series with you this morning. But I'd really like to start that series in person. So instead, for the next couple weeks, I'm going to be asking some questions to prepare us for that series. So I encourage you to talk about these questions with the people around you or in the chat. But I'm going to warn you, these won't be easy questions. I'm positive that if you really think about the implications of these kinds of questions, that many of you will have different opinions about them and different understandings of how Scripture answers these things. So when you share your answer, and when you hear other people's answers, I encourage you to be gracious and loving, maintaining our unity in Christ. In John chapter 17, verse 21, Jesus actually prayed for us, saying that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Let's pray. Father, help us to be one. Help us to love each other, just as you love us, so that all the world might see Jesus in us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So Jesus prayed that we would be one. And the fact that Jesus prayed this tells me that it's not something that's automatic. It's something that could be lost. So that's our first question. What does it mean for us to be one, just as Jesus and his Father are one? Go ahead and talk about that with the people around you or in the comments. It's really sad, really, when you think about it, how there are so many denominations that divide us into various churches, faiths, and practices. When Jesus literally prayed that we would be one, that we would be united. I was in the band in high school, and we played one piece of music that started out as noise. It sounded just like noise. I wish I could remember the name of the song, because I'd play it for you this morning. But basically, at the beginning of the song, everyone was playing random notes, and it just sounded like noise, like people tuning up or practicing different riffs of the song. It just sounded like chaos. But gradually, one by one, they began to play a melody, and then harmonies, until by the end of the song, it sounds like a perfect work of art. That's what unity is. It's a variety of instruments from a variety of backgrounds coming together to make something beautiful. So our second question is similar to the first. What would it look like if all Christians were actually united in our devotion to one another? Go ahead and talk about that. Looking at John 17:21 again, I want you to notice the goal of our unity in Christ. Look at that again. That they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. See, the goal of our unity is evangelistic. Jesus prayed that we would be one, so that, those are key words, so that, this is telling us the purpose, so that the world would believe. Catch that? And that's something we should all want. We should all want the world to believe that Jesus was sent by God the Father. See, there really is a heaven to be gained and a hell to escape. So we want all people to receive Jesus as Savior. And Jesus is pointing out to us through his prayer that one of the greatest barriers to people believing is our disunity from one another. So that's our third question. How might a greater unity amongst the body of Christ point people to Jesus? like most Baptist churches, we like to vote on things at our church. so in order to decide whether to have church in person or online this morning, we actually voted on it in our Facebook group. And interestingly, we had our most divisive outcome ever in a vote of our church. our church was split in this Facebook poll 50-50 on whether to meet online or in person this morning. And yet, we're all here. At least I think we're all here, united in this service right now. That's a great picture of what it means to be united. Even when we disagree, we come together. Now, so far, you're probably thinking, Pastor Chris, I thought you said that these were going to be tough questions. They weren't going to be easy. And you're right. So far, these questions have been pretty safe, right? But I have two more questions that are some of the toughest. Here's one of them. So if unity in Christ is so important and our Christian witness depends on it, how far should we go to maintain our unity? Go ahead and talk about that. For example, how often should you bite your tongue? How often should you swallow your pride? This isn't necessarily a hard question to answer, but it is hard to practice, isn't it? And I don't know the perfect answer to that question. When Paul and Peter had a disagreement, they split ways for a while. When a certain man in the Corinthian church was content to live in sin, Paul even instructed them to hand that man over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh so that his spirit might be saved on the day of the Lord. So having unity doesn't mean that we become complacent or complicit about sin. I don't know how far we need to go to maintain church unity, but I do know how far Jesus went. Jesus went to the cross. He died for our sin and even for our disunity, and through his wounds, we're healed. So knowing that Jesus died for our sin, I want to challenge all of us this morning to go that far in sacrificing ourselves for the sake of one another. Our culture today has gotten to the point that we all feel comfortable speaking our mind no matter who we offend. But maybe we need to get back to the biblical virtue of unity. And I hope that you see that this is absolutely necessary, not just for the church, but for the world that we live in. We're all sinners. So the only way that we're ever going to get along with each other is if we love each other. Even knowing that the people that we're loving will certainly let us down at times. See, being someone dedicated to promoting unity means self-sacrifice. It means being okay when non-essential issues don't go our way. Some of that's easy. If someone wants to change the Christmas family dinner from something traditional like ham to something very untraditional for Christmas like lasagna, and you really don't like lasagna, but most of the family does, being a person of unity means saying, sounds great, let's do it. But sometimes it's harder than that. if you know that your young adult child is going to do what they want regardless of what you tell them, you often need to learn to just let them make their own mistakes. And for the sake of unity, you learn not to say, "I told you so." That's harder. So last question, how can you practically deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus? You see, following Jesus is more than just believing in him. It's doing the things that he did. It's loving the sinner. It's giving your life for the sake of others, not just once at the end of your life, but every day. That's a lifelong journey. And it begins by trusting in Jesus' death and resurrection. Jesus died for your sin to save you and then rose again that you might follow him, being united with one another as a family, as his family, so that the world might also believe in Jesus. If you've never believed in Jesus, I invite you this morning to join that family. Join him in his family, the body of Christ, the church. Become committed to his family, but also be attached to him as your Savior. That's the most important thing, trusting in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, so that you might rest in him forever and be a part of the family of God.